Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Clearing the Crease podcast. I'm your host, Dennis Cox. Thank you so much for downloading the latest episode of Clearing the Crease. We're hoping this episode will help get you through your weekend to get that work we started off right next week. But before we get started today, I got to tell you about ReflexLacrosse.com. That's right, ReflexLacrosse.com. Now, despite all this winter weather and snow coming through the Mid-Atlantic and the Southeast, lacrosse season is here. Got to be looking good. Got to have that fresh swag for the ladies, guys. Check out ReflexLacrosse.com. Check out some brand new swag that they have going on, some new t-shirts, both for the ladies as well. If you want to look good for the guys, they have stuff for you as well. ReflexLacrosse.com. Now, we have a lot of things to get to this week in this edition of the show. We've got some NASCAR. We have some high school girls basketball. We've got college athletics. We have a lot of things we want to get to today. But first, I want to let you all know some ways you can get in contact with us here at Clearing the Crease. You can find us on Twitter, at CTC Podcast. Is our Twitter handle, at CTC Podcast. Find us on Facebook, Clearing the Crease Podcast is the name of the Facebook page. You can also download this on iTunes, Clearing the Crease Podcast. Just type it in, download it, it's free. Free for each and every one of you. Also, go to our brand new website, clearingthecrease.com. That's right, brand new website. We have news, blog posts, and also a link to this podcast as well. So please check out clearingthecrease.com. All right, let's drop the puck. Now, for our first story here with Drop the Puck, it's a very short story, but I found it very intriguing that I found earlier today. Recording this on Friday, the 26th, for each and every one of you, for those who do not know. But I saw this with NASCAR. Travis Kvyat, they have a race this weekend in Atlanta Motor Speedway. Now, last week was the Daytona 500. Now, because of the winter weather that was coming through the southeast of the part of the country, a lot of NASCAR crews and just race teams sent their trucks with their equipment and their tools, things to do repairs on the vehicles, whatever it may be. Now, not all the cars got up there early in the week. So Travis Kvyat was going through Georgia, stayed at a hotel on Thursday night in Georgia, had his car and a trailer, a black dually, had an enclosed trailer and everything. His cup car got stolen. He's a member of Team Extreme. His stock car for his racing got stolen. So he had to pull out of the race this upcoming weekend in Atlanta because he doesn't have a car to compete with. He doesn't have a backup. Now, Team Extreme is one of the more lower-budgeted race groups in NASCAR. But I'm just shocked that a stock car, NASCAR Sprint Cup racing team, had their car stolen. It just blows my mind. I figured they would have that thing on lockdown, all through the night, and at least have someone watching just to make sure, rotating guys throughout the night. But he can't compete this weekend. He doesn't have a car. It got stolen. Now, I'm curious as to where this thing turns up. I'm sure if somebody probably broke that car down and sold the parts out, because I'm sure they probably get a lot of money for that. Because, imagine just having like a number 44 Chevy just rolling around, on I-10 or something like that, or I-85, just around Atlanta, just cruising along. You're not going to see that, obviously, because that's just a big red flag. But still, I just find that pretty amazing that Travis Kvyat's Sprint Cup Series car got stolen. That's amazing. Now, to follow up for our next story, as a follow-up from last week, I spoke about how Qatar getting the 2022 FIFA World Cup has been a little bit of a disaster. And there's more reports now coming out this week about how FIFA is looking to do a November-December wintertime FIFA World Cup, just again because of the temperatures that they struggle with in the summertime in Qatar. Now, a lot of this could have been avoided, and the European Soccer Association, don't want to misquote them, but sorry, the European Club Association, I should say, is now going to be looking to be compensated for damages because November-December is right in the middle of a lot of the European club seasons. Mostly they run from August through April. So if you have the World Cup in November, December, you're taking away a lot of top players away from these club teams. They're not going to be able to compete. So you have to do a lot of things with rescheduling. So it's going to be a disaster for these European clubs. They're going to look to be compensated for damages because of FIFA's, well, mishandling of awarding these games. Now, in 2010, FIFA does what's known as an operational risk for each of the countries that submit bids. There are 9 different categories that each country is evaluated upon. One is competition, is a general category, and there's 4 subcategories within that. There's stadium construction, stadium operations, team facilities, and competition-related events. There's also categories under transportation. Airports and international connections is one, ground transport, and hotel city transport. And the last 2 categories are general accommodation and also international broadcast center, the IBC, to basically broadcast the games. Now, the United States and Qatar were two of the final countries to that the bid came down to, again, Qatar being awarded the 2022 games. Now, there's already been some issues with it in terms of human rights, cost, bribery allegations, you know, amongst this bid. But again, the weather has been a major risk. And now this report of these marks in regards to the operational risk, the United States scored lower in 8 of the 9 categories than Qatar. 8 of the 9 categories were low risk for the United States. Now, the only one that was equal to Qatar was a medium risk, was ground transport, because obviously you have interstates and roadways under construction, you know, those kinds of things. So ground transport, if one country is, let's say, going from Chicago to, I don't know, Columbus, you know, they have to deal with highway traffic, things like that. But in every other category, the U.S. scored lower than Qatar, yet Qatar still got the bid. Now, it's just been a massive headache for FIFA, for the European club associations. They've made this a disaster. And if FIFA just followed their own reports back in 2010, a lot of this could have been avoided. So I blame FIFA for all that's going on right now. They put themselves in this situation fully knowing what was ahead of them if they chose Qatar. Yet they chose not to listen to their own reports. So if you're not going to listen or, you know, follow your own reports, then why you have them? You're just causing a big headache for everybody. So I'm curious to find out what FIFA is going to decide to do, what dates they're going to select, if they're going to have to compensate the European Club Association and the respective club teams to, you know, for lost time and rescheduling, all those things. So it's amazing how this is, again, just been a headache that could have been avoided. Now, switching focus to high school girls basketball in Tennessee, Smyrna High School and Riverdale have both been banned from postseason play this season for intentionally trying to lose a game to avoid playing a top seed. Now, Smyrna High School and Riverdale were playing each other last week, and Smyrna High School ended up winning the game 55-29 over Riverdale. Riverdale had won its third title, state title, in 4 years in March of 2013, and was also the 58th straight victory. So it's not like Riverdale is not used to winning or being in a situation of playing against good competition. They have a history of being successful. Now, in addition to their postseason ban, each team was fined $1,500 and also has a 1 year of probation. Now, teams were trying to avoid playing defending AAA state champion Blackman by intentionally missing shots. They were intentionally turning the ball over. They're actually shooting at the wrong basket. I watched a video clip of some of that was going on. Players were intentionally just mishandling the ball, throwing the ball away out of bounds, just handing the ball to the other team, intentionally just stepping over the mid-court line for just a backcourt violation, just airballing free throws on purpose. It just blows my mind. Now, the winner of this game had to go play Blackman. This was a district tournament game, so it was just kind of was playing into regional seeding. Both teams had already earned a trip to the regional tournament. So both teams didn't want to play. Now, Tennessee Secondary School Athletic Association Director Bernard Childress said in a letter to each of the teams that, quote, made a mockery, end quote, and to continue on, he said, quote, this situation defeated the purpose of educational-based athletics. I completely agree with what Mr. Childress says. This is a mockery of educational-based athletics. Even the referee during the game, when a Smyrna High School player was intentionally shooting at the wrong basket, I guess it was either after the shot or attempt or what it may have been, stopped the game and told the coaches not to make a travesty of the game. And that was in a report that the referee filed after the game. And it was also, that report was quoted in the letter by Childress to each of the team. And he said, he even said that it was going to make a travesty of the game. It is a travesty of the game. Why are you going out there and telling your players as a coach to intentionally lose a game? Now, this is going to lead right into my out of bounds segment. What are we teaching kids these days? Is this what we're teaching them? Because when I was coaching, which wasn't that long ago, I never once thought, hey, let's lose today. This may help us in the long run to lose. No, you go out there and you win. Because guess what? If you don't want to play Blackman early because you may have a better shot at making the state tournament, guess what? You're going to have to face Blackman. They're defending state champs. Unless they get knocked off early, they're the defending AAA state champs. You're going to have to eventually play them. But what are we teaching these kids? It's okay to lose? That's one of the big knocks I hear from grown-ups all the time about young kids is that how there's no work ethic, they don't try hard, they don't compete, they don't put in the time to get something. They just want everything given to them right away. And then we have adults going off and doing this? Really? Where's the respect of the game? Where's the integrity of coaching? Where's the integrity of the players? And the sad thing is, I see the players were watching them were 100% all into this. They bought into what their coaches were telling them to do. If I'm a parent, I walk down, I pull my kid off the court, say, this is not what you signed up for. If I'm a player, I'm pulling a varsity blues. I'm going anarchy on the coach, or mutiny, I should say, on the coach. No, we're not listening to you. This is the wrong way. We're going to go out there and play hard to win. If I was a player on that court, I'd walk off. Like, coach, you're not playing me if this is what you're telling me to do. I'm not playing. But if I'm out there, I'm going to go 100% and play the way the game's supposed to be played. This is a disgrace to athletics. An absolute disgrace. Telling kids to go out there and intentionally lose because it may help you? Give me a break. These coaches should not be allowed to coach again. This defeats the purpose of this. Now, the coaches from these teams were trying to, and the athletic directors were trying to allow each of the teams to compete in the state tournament and just have the coaches not be allowed to coach on the sidelines, just have, you know, assistants or whatever it may be fill in their place. So the head coaches would be banned, not the entire team. And Bernard Childress, again, the head of the head director of TSSAA, said, no, your players were willing participants. And they were. If you watch the videos of it, they were willing participants. And they shouldn't be allowed to play. You shouldn't be rewarded for going out there and making a mockery of competition. It's completely disrespectful. Because there's a lot of people out there who are working hard to get something and they can't get it just because they may not be as talented or not as good. This is a disgrace. These people should not be allowed to coach. I just completely blows my mind. If I'm a parent, my kid doesn't play a sport or doesn't play under that coach if that coach is still coaching. I'm sorry. Go play AAU. Go find a different sport. Go swim. I don't care. But this is an absolute disgrace. And seriously, what are we teaching people these days? Take the easy way out? You got something difficult in front of you? Hey, take the easy path. Whatever happened to work ethic? You know, facing your fears. I always tell my father, don't be afraid to lose. Don't be afraid to fail. But you know what? These coaches were saying, no, hey, guess what? Just go out there, intentionally lose. we'll be better off in the long run. We'll have a better chance of being successful in the long run, maybe, if we intentionally lose. Give me a break. Face your fears. Grow up. Play the team that's going to be difficult. Play the game the right way. You're setting these kids up for failure for life by doing this. It's awful. Absolutely awful. Okay, now that my little rant is over, I want to get to our final story for this week. Now, this is going to take us to college athletics today. Now, the Big Ten Conference has, nothing's been proposed. I just want to make sure to clear that up right away. They're just have a little bit of a discussion recently about making freshmen, or all incoming freshmen, in some sports, if not all sports, ineligible right away. Now, NCAA used to have a rule in the past where incoming freshmen were automatically ineligible. It was to make sure they did well academically their first year, to make sure they adjusted to the college life. And then when they were second year in the school, then they were eligible to compete and play. So generally, they only had 3 years to play. Then red shirts came around, and the freshmen then were allowed to play, blah, 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 and we have what we have now. But the Big Ten Conference is, again, having a discussion, not a proposal, about making freshmen ineligible right away. Now, they're gathering a consensus from what the rest of Division I feels about doing this before they make any sort of proposals or decisions or anything along those lines. And the reason is to, again, reestablish academics as the reason for going to college and allow freshmen to focus primarily on school and not have to worry about stepping in and competing right away. Now, to make things clear, conferences can establish rules as long as they fit NCAA guidelines. For example, the Ivy League doesn't give out athletic scholarships. It's just what they do. Now, for example, you know, men's and women's basketball have 12 or 13 scholarships that they're allowed to have each season. The Ivy League decided, no, we don't want to have any athletic scholarships. That's just what they decided to do. It's under NCAA guidelines. You know, they don't step outside. They don't exceed the limits of what the NCAA sets. So they can set those parameters. They can set conference can set parameters on how many non-traditional season practices teams are allowed to have, non-traditional season competition, whatever it may be. A conference can establish that, and that goes for all levels, Division I down through Division III, for all sports. I would give, for example, when I was coaching in Wisconsin, the conference that we ended up joining did not allow any non-traditional season competitions. Now, it used to be, now non-traditional season, let's say I was coaching lacrosse, which is a spring sport, our non-traditional season would be the fall. And Division III allows for one date of competition during the non-traditional season. So our conference said no competition games, so we weren't allowed to play any fall scrimmages. It was a conference rule. It still fell under NCAA guidelines, so things were fine. So if the Big Ten Conference wants to make all freshmen ineligible, or freshmen ineligible in some sports, they're allowed to do so. But here's kind of the drawback. Basketball, that's probably not going to work, because we have a lot of guys who are, at least in men's basketball, are one and done. They play that one season and they go to the NBA. It's reality of the situation. It's a one and done. Now, football, I could see it working, because you get a lot of kids that redshirt anyway as freshmen. So, you know, a kid's going to know going in, okay, hey, you're going to be redshirted as a freshman because you're not going to be eligible anyway. So pretty much an automatic redshirt. You know, then you still have 4 years. You can focus on school because you're not going to be eligible to play. But a kid may want to go in and say, look, I want to be able to play right away as a freshman. So I could see that. I could see how that could be a drawback from going to the Big Ten in terms of football as well. Now, where it really could hurt is all the sports where kids don't really have full scholarships. Now, men's and women's basketball, most of those kids are on full scholarship, or they are if you're offered one. Now, managers, walk-ons, they obviously don't get anything. But, for example, men's lacrosse, let's say it's Michigan, Ohio State, Rutgers, Maryland, one of those schools, they only have 12.6 scholarships is the maximum allowed by the NCAA for a men's lacrosse team. There's 45 guys on a roster. So basically none of those kids are on full scholarship. You'd be lucky to have a half, in all honesty. So as a kid who was on, let's say, one-third of an academic scholarship and one-third of an athletic scholarship and the rest is coming out of pocket, you think he wants to sit out his freshman year? No, he wants to play for all four seasons. And he's not going to redshirt either to stay around for an extra year if you're going to be paying out of pocket to play. It's sports like that. It's swimming. It's also it's tennis. Baseball, softball, track. If you're not on full ride, I could see that being really hard. You want to play for four seasons. I just don't see this how this is going to work with the Big Ten. Again, maybe football. I get it. Basketball could really hurt because you're not going to get any of those star kids who may go one and done because kid has a breakout star year as a freshman. And the NBA really likes the kid. He's going. He's going to make money. He's going to go. So in all honesty, I don't think it's going to work. The consensus would probably be no. But if they make it, that's a big risk by the Big Ten Conference. I'm curious as to see what the coaches are thinking. I'm sure they don't like it because that's a recruiting hurdle that you have to make. It's hard enough for the Big Ten to recruit right now anyway, especially for football, because the way the SEC has been the dominant conference over the last several years. I know Ohio State just won a national championship, but the SEC is still the cream of the crop, and that's what drives a lot of these schools. And if you're telling kids that they can't play right away as a freshman, it's going to be a drawback, especially if LSU and Alabama or even Arkansas or one of those other schools are sitting there saying, hey, look, we'll give you a chance to play right away. I can go down south where it's warm, or I can go to Michigan or Michigan State where it's cold. I go to Wisconsin where it's beautiful in Madison. Trust me, I love Wisconsin. I love my time there, but it gets cold. I could see that being a real hurdle for a lot of teams, and especially if it's a sport such as lacrosse or swimming where you don't have full rides. It's, hey, you know what? You're going to be paying out of pocket and you won't be even able to play. It's not going to fly. So if I'm the Big Ten, I don't make that decision. But it wouldn't shock me either if this goes to a proposal. I'm curious to find out what their decision is going to be and if they move forward with this and what the consensus is from the rest of the NCAA at the Division I level. But this could be a great opportunity for more discussion. I don't think it's going to happen, but in all honesty, it wouldn't shock me if something does get tabled. That's just my opinion. Thanks again for listening to this week's episode of Clearing the Crease Podcast. Again, find us on Twitter at CTC Podcast. Like us on Facebook, Clearing the Crease Podcast is the name of the page. Check out the new website, clearingthecrease.com. Send me your comments, your questions, anything you want to hear on the show, please send it to me, direct it towards me. Hope you guys have a wonderful weekend. I'll see you guys next week.